This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Noon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Happy little Wednesday. It's your sports bro, Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's out today. He will be back in the saddle tomorrow. So he says Will Ortner is here today. He is in for Buckley.
Sada.
Schultz yesterday, Ortner today. We're having a fun show for you. Coming up, why you have SMU to thank for how this Sweet 16 looks. We will get to our Wednesday Tickle Trunk. Is it too early for college football win totals? Never. I don't think it is.
Never.
Coming up tonight in the club, boy, now I've just got... So my I got a big problem, Will, with planes always turning around and going back to their original destination for something stupid.
I think I've heard this one.
This is the worst one yet.
I'm pretty fired up about it, too.
Now it's just silly.
Well, it's...
It's just silly.
It's on someone else. Like, you need to clean up your own mistake.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If it's the one we're talking about.
I think it is. I mean, it's the most absurd one yet.
It's ridiculous.
So we'll get to that in the club, 6 to 7. And, unfortunately... With a young here today, in Will Ortner, we have to talk about Vavy.
What?
You don't know what that is?
Is that the smell thing?
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. This is what makes my generation look bad. It's not real. There's no way. There's no way.
Are you saying that because you just don't think it is?
I sure to God hope not.
Okay.
I really hope not.
I think it's real. I can't prove it.
I can make some calls.
Yeah, throw some texts out. Do some homework on this.
I'll text some experts.
Do that, and then we'll reconvene at 6.
Okay.
Oh, God. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Well, if you missed it, it came down after the Hot 5 at 5 yesterday, because I'm sure there are three of you that tune in for the Hot 5 at 5 only. Damian Lillard news. He is out indefinitely with deep vein thrombosis in his calf. So the Bucks have fallen to fifth in the East. And about to get worse. Not good. Blood clot.
Yeah, that it sucks. It also feels like maybe it's just because there were a couple this year, but
yeah.
Why is this happening more?
COVID shot, dude.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Fauci.
Fauci, ouchie.
Yeah, I don't know. But it happens. Well, we only had... What else did we have? We had Wembanyama.
Asir Thompson had it. This is what ended Bosch's career, because he got it a second time.
Yeah, but you were saying this year.
That's true.
Lakers losing to the Pacers, end of the first quarter, 33-28. CBS College Football is losing Gary Danielson, the longtime color commentator, says he will be back for this upcoming season, but that will be his last. At 20 years, he is the longest tenured college football analyst on any network, and they are saying that his replacement will be Charles Davis. And I can approve of Charles Davis. I like Charles Davis.
I was going to say, not to be mean, but sometimes the Big Ten game of the week that they were playing on CBS last year, it felt a little old. It felt It felt like there were times where it's like,
yes.
Dude, I can see that call. What are you arguing about?
No, I like Gary Danielson.
I do too.
I liked him, but
I do too.
It is time. Especially when he was with Vern, it was like, oh my God, these two old dudes.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Vern, and Gary's great, and they did a good job. It just...
I hear you. I'm not going to talk you off of that one. That's... he definitely sounded old.
It's a good take. Yeah.
NFL Competition Committee is recommending making the dynamic kickoff permanent, but also moving touchbacks out to the 35-yard line. They are hoping that this will entice the kicking team to kick it shorter so as to try to get more returns, obviously. Because if it's a touchback, now it comes out 5 more yards to 35.
I understand that there's like the concussion stuff. Can we just go back to the old kickoff?
No, you can't because of the concussion stuff.
But college football does. But high school does. High school, college football, they still do the old way.
Well, I just read today, they said that concussions are down like 45% or something from this. So
from they're not specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then they'll never go back.
They're not going back.
But I do miss like the surprise onside kicks. I do. There's something about, maybe it's just because the college kickers can't kick it as far, but there is something special about the old way.
The onside kick thing, we can get into the, well, actually, I'll put a pin in it for now. And then when we come back next segment, we'll tell you what they decided about the onside kick thing. Rick Pitino's son, Richard, went 88-49 in four seasons at New Mexico, back-to-back tournament appearances. And for that, he has now been offered the Xavier job. He will go and replace Sean Miller. He will now coach in the same league as his horny father. How about that?
I kind of like that matchup. Like, the Big East, when... You know, you were a kid and
huge.
It was a big deal.
Georgetown, Syracuse.
I hear all the stories about how awesome it was and all the coaches were great. At one point, they had six fouls instead of five. Yeah. Like,
yep.
I can't wait for the Big East to be kind of awesome again.
Well, I think it is. It's sneaky good. You had UConn, you had Marquette, you had Creighton, you had Xavier.
It's sneaky good, but I mean in the fact of like it ran college basketball. It didn't run college basketball this year. But when you talk about the most interesting coaches in the sport, they're all in the Big East. Hurley, Pitino, other Pitino.
Yeah.
Shaka.
West Virginia's coach ran off to Indiana and reports the Mountaineers now are targeting North Texas head man Ross Hodge. And number one, we've got opening day tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Big Will.
Mariners going 162-0.
I don't think they are.
Nope. You heard it here first. I just said it.
Mariners will be hosting the Athletics. What else do we have? I haven't even looked at the scores.
You got Brewers and Yankees. That's going to be the first game. They're not doing like a game that starts at 9, though, which I thought was interesting. Usually they have like games all day.
Yeah.
And it's not...
Nothing's on in the morning?
No, I think noon's the first. I think it's basically all afternoon.
We got Cubs D-bags.
It'll be fun.
Tigers Dodgers. Blake Snell for L.A.
versus Scoobal.
How about Braves Padres at Petco? Mets Astros. Yeah, some good matchups.
Yes, there are.
You got Paul Skeens pitching tomorrow against the Marlins.
Livy Dunn just did her SI swimsuit edition.
I saw that. How lucky is that guy?
I don't think it's luck.
You don't think so?
Something tells me his baseball abilities help. I don't know that that's luck.
Well, they met in college. And oftentimes, when you meet in college...
Usually you don't
part ways.
I mean, usually you part ways.
You go apart, you know, things change. College is more proximity than it is anything else.
Not wrong on that.
So we'll see.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for them.
Pray for them.
I hope that love doesn't die like it did with Carson Beck and Hannah Cavender.
Oh, wait, did they break up?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think he cheated.
Oh,
and I,
no.
for one, am so sad. And if she needs a shoulder to cry on, like, I'm here.
Dude, you have no chance with her.
God, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No shot.
So he's single now again?
She is the one that I care about.
You could probably get him.
He does look like Sid the Sloth.
He's a weird-looking dude, isn't he?
He's a gross.
Did he ever get his cars
dude.
Back? He did, right?
Cars? His cars got stolen?
Yeah, both of them. From his house. The driveway. The people just... You didn't hear this story?
No. I'm not locked in on my Carson Beck... knowledge.
Yeah, he's got his new house in Miami, and some guys rolled up. They opened, or they broke into one of the cars, her car, I think, Range Rover or something.
Yeah.
Opened the garage door with the garage door opener, went into the house, grabbed the keys, and took off in the cars.
Wow.
Yeah, they got him, of course, but yeah, it's been a long couple months for Dr. Beck. Out there.
Something tells me he did that to himself. I saw the Snapchat.
Maybe they just couldn't get over the stolen cars.
I'm just so sad. I was really rooting for those crazy kids.
Yeah. All right. Victorico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorico's.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. College football win totals, the Ducks and Ohio State. Next on The Fan.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, so the deal with onside kicks, because the NFL, was it the competition committee or the rules committee or whatever, recommended the change on the kickoff from 30 to 35 for touchbacks. They did say that they were looking, and there's a couple of other little things that they're recommending, including with the instant replay, but... they did say that they were looking at the onside kick deal, because now onside kicks kind of, they've gotten super lame, where you have to...
Well, you can't get them.
You just can't get them, right. And the percentage is really low, and you have to, you know, tell the other team that you're doing it. And they talked about the idea, which we have spoken about here before, and I think it's like you get the ball, I think it's 4th and 20 or something, you get a first down, and
yeah,
instead of the onside kick, mm-hmm. they just spot the ball at whatever I think it's maybe midfield. You get 20 yards. You get to keep possession, and then you can go score or kick a field goal or whatever. Mm-hmm. They looked at that, and it is not an official rules committee recommendation because they said it was too gimmicky.
Yeah, but I mean, this is also kind of gimmicky. The new kickoff.
Well,
I get why they're doing it. I get it 100%. But
this is this is to replace the onside kick.
Yes, but they have to replace the onside kick because the new way that it's all set up is you can only do it in the fourth quarter. You can only do it when you're down. There's no more surprise onside kicks. There's no more.
Yeah.
And you can't do the running start anymore. Can you have uneven sides?
I don't know. You would know better than I would.
There was a time where you couldn't even have uneven sides, if I remember correctly.
I think you can.
I think they brought it back. I think they brought it back because they're not running up anymore. And I understand that what they're doing is making they're making kickoffs safer, which is good. And they're never going to change it if the concussion numbers are what you said, where they're down 45% or whatever, right? They'll never change it. But it does affect how a team is going to, I think, should start handling when they are down in the third quarter. You might be more likely to go for it on fourth down now. Because if you're down by two scores and it's in the final 2 minutes, you're not getting the onside kick.
Yeah.
No one gets it anymore.
No, I think that's right.
So it almost puts more pressure earlier in the game if you're down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the games that I was watching if I ever thought. That kind of never came up. It's always just like if you're down two scores and you're not going to get the ball back and you score, it's just kind of a given that you have to try the onside kick, but you're just thinking, well, they're not going to, it's over. They're not going to get that.
Right. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
There should be an easier way. Well, I think the percentages are on the onside kick now. I mean, it's down to like 4% or something.
I'm shocked it's that high, to be honest with you.
And I think at its height, it was like maybe 13, somewhere in there.
Which feels fair.
And they were saying that this play where you had 4th and 20, the numbers are out there. I mean, teams that have 4th and 20, I think they get it somewhere around 12 to 13%. So it's commensurate.
Sure.
With, I don't know, words. With the old onside. But I don't know. They're not going to do it. So college football win totals have been released for the Big Ten. And I'm excited about this.
I took a look at these earlier.
Yeah, you did.
There's some juicy
Big Will bets. Big Will bets. And I don't know where you can bet these, but Oregon and Ohio State and Penn State are all tied atop the Big Ten at 10.5 wins over under. So if you bet that, for those that don't follow gambling, if you bet Oregon to go over 10.5 wins, they have to win 11 games and you'll win your monies.
I don't hate that when you look at their schedule. Not to Francesa this thing.
But if you have to, if you want to bet Oregon under 10.5, they have to win 10 or less. And yes, so I looked at, I originally was like, wait a minute. At best, they're going to have a young, inexperienced quarterback. Okay.
Right. From what everyone's saying, though, he's the real deal.
Okay. But young.
Yep.
Hasn't started a game. He did, I guess, at UCLA.
He started a whole year at UCLA.
Yeah.
If it's Moore.
Okay. Yeah.
If it's going to be Dante Moore. It's a 5-star kid who is the number one or number two guy in his class.
Okay. And I trust the staff. Like, if they think that's the guy, I'm like, man, he must be really good if they didn't dip into the transfer portal. But, yeah, so I was originally thinking, I don't know, losing some guys. I'm going to go under 10.5. I think that number's high. But then you're right. You look at the schedule. And, my God, the Big Ten schedule is just, I don't know.
It's so weak. Like the Ducks, what's their big game? It's Penn State.
Penn State.
I think they're the wideout for Penn State. And then it's nobody.
So they play Montana State, Oklahoma State at home. And then they play at Northwestern, the Beavs at home, and at Penn State. Those are your first five. Mm-hmm. You get a bye. Then you have a 3-game slate before your next bye. You are home to Indiana at Rutgers and home to Wisconsin. Then the last five after the second bye are at Iowa, slippery, Minnesota at home, USC at home, and then they have to go to Husky Stadium. I mean, that's so manageable.
I think USC takes a step forward, and I think USC and UW take a step forward, but I think those are winnable games.
Well, of course they're winnable. They're going to be favored. Are they not? So they may be an underdog, slight underdog at Penn State. They'll be favored in every game this year.
At least at the beginning of the season, yes, they will, 100%.
I think the question is, will they slip up at Autzen? Indiana, Wisconsin, USC.
When's the last time they slipped up at Autzen?
Not many times under Dan Lanning. When I say slip up.
It'd be the Oregon State game, right?
That was there, wasn't it?
Okay, so then, it's the UW game. So it's been almost 2 years.
But the UW games were, I mean, I'm talking about slip up, like lose to somebody they're not, that they shouldn't. It is the Oregon State.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that hasn't really happened under Lanning.
No, it really hasn't. That's what I'm saying.
Like last year was like your closest against Wisconsin?
Yeah. And they certainly haven't done it at Autzen.
Yeah.
So if you look at it that way, you're like, well, you can kind of trust them. Like, where are they going to? I mean, Penn State, tough game.
They're going to be good.
But, I mean, every one of those games outside of the Penn State game, they kind of all look the same. Oregon by 4-10. You know what I'm saying?
A couple of these going to be more than 4-10. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, like,
Wisconsin, I think, like, if you're ranking them on tiers, like UW, USC, Wisconsin are probably, Penn State's in their own tier. And then it's probably those three in the next tier. Iowa doesn't scare me. Minnesota, not really. I mean, I don't know that they're going to come down here rowing the boat for victory. Indiana, I think, takes a big step back. They were very senior laden.
Yeah, they lost a lot of guys, huh?
And you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
And a lot of people like to point out, like, well, that Indiana team had a lot of transfers. Yeah, but they had a lot of transfers from the same team. The same team that coach already coached at. So they were running the same system.
Yeah, I'm sure that there will be a team in there somewhere that is better than we think.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know what Oregon is. It's just not a scary slate at all. It's a lot like last year. They miss Ohio State altogether. You mentioned USC. That's an interesting one. You know, if USC steps it up.
And I think they will. They're doing a better job of recruiting. They just stole a 4-star recruit from Oregon, a D lineman.
They are doing a better job of recruiting, but is that going to be something that's going to affect them right away? Who's their quarterback? Is it still that Maiava guy?
I think it's going to be Maiava. Unless there's a kid that they brought in that, I don't know. Maiava is going to be high risk, high reward. Like with Moss last year, you kind of knew, like, hey, he's going to be good, but he's stuck in the pocket. Maiava is going to get back more to like how Lincoln looked with Jalen Hurts and with Kyler Murray, where he's using them more in that plus one run game. A lot of stuff behind gap scheme.
Boy, did you watch that bowl game?
It was sloppy. It was back and forth, but it was sloppy.
He was so bad.
And then he was so good, though.
You see flashes, yeah.
Yeah, and that would be the thing that would worry me. And he was really good at UNLV the year before. Like, he has, I mean, there's a reason why he was the backup. But if you can harness the flashes, watch out.
Oregon's going to lose two games.
You're chalking up Penn State?
Yeah.
That's a good DC.
If they win at Penn State, I think they lose one game.
I think two is fine, and two gets you into the playoff. I think it's a disappointing season. I mean, to be fair, it's also March.
You got to go to the playoff.
I think you got to go to the playoff. Especially with all the pressure that the Big Ten and SEC are putting on the rest of the college football playoff to make sure that they get four teams automatically. I think you got to go.
So Oregon's at 10.5. Ohio State, Penn State are at 10.5. Indiana's 8.5. Michigan, 8.5. Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, USC, Washington, all 7.5.
I think I'd take the over on USC. Michigan has the potential to be extremely volatile.
Who'd they bring in, quarterback?
They brought in Bryce Underwood, and they gave him a bag.
That's right.
They are comparing...
He's the freshman?
Yep. They are comparing him to Cam Newton. That's what they say he is.
Oh, damn.
To be fair, Alex Orji, also compared to Cam Newton, he was horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that guy
horrible.
Sucked.
Horrible. But if Bryce Underwood is everything that they expect him to be, and they paid him like $15 million or something crazy... He could come in, and that team could flip pretty quickly.
Well,
like, as bad as they were last year, they beat Alabama.
Yeah, and they always have good... Oh, they did in the bowl.
They beat USC.
They always have good talent.
Yep.
Play good defense.
And they play a style...
But you don't play them.
Right, but they play a style that'll keep them in games. What I'm saying is for their number. If their number's at 8.5, like you said...
Michigan?
Yeah. 7.5?
Oh, no, you're right. 8.5.
8.5? I would need to watch one game from them or dive into the spring ball. I might lean towards their over. Like, they could be a big boom team this year.
What about Nebraska? Didn't they get a stud quarterback too?
Well, they still kept
they have
Raiola.
They
kept Raiola. I like Nebraska. I like Rhule. At the beginning of last year, I thought they were going to take a gigantic step forward.
I mean,
there was a point in time where it's like, are they the fourth best team? And, you know, they took Ohio State to the ropes, but I don't know.
It's hard to trust them.
I think there's too much of like, well, in the 80s and 90s, they were awesome, so they'll be awesome again. It's like...
They're really not that.
Well, and here's the thing. In the 80s and 90s, they were awesome because they lifted weights before everyone else did.
They're an 8-win team. I mean, that number seems about right. Wisconsin's down there at 5.5. That's weird. They must have lost some bros.
People don't trust Fickell going in there. He's got the dairy raid trying to go, and people just don't believe in it.
They're not buying it, huh?
Midwest. Yeah.
Well, remember, too, Ohio State loses both of its coordinators. I mean, I know they're going to be loaded, but...
Yep. Nope. 100%. Well, they lose their quarterback.
Knowles,
yep.
He's now... He moved over to Penn State.
Right.
So playing at Penn State against Knowles...
Penn State's defense is going to be good. Offensively, I don't know what they're going to be, but they do get Aller back.
Yeah.
And I know he has his ups and downs, but he was really freaking good in that Big Ten championship game. The two turnovers, and he was awesome.
He was a lot better than I thought.
He had, again, another guy who has flashes, because you look at the Notre Dame game, and there's no reason that they should have lost the game the way they lost it. He lost them that game.
You know, he's going to be pissed off, ready for that game. Will, revenge. Revenge spot.
Against Oregon?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They Big Ten championship game.
That'll be fun.
And it's the whiteout, which will be awesome.
Yeah, that's a place I'd like to see a game. Penn State.
I have a scouting buddy, and he always makes sure that he's there for that game.
For what? Oh, the whiteout game?
Yep.
So they pick one a year? Is that like their top game?
Yeah, they try and pick their top game, and they try and pick it so it's a night game, although recently Fox has been making that like the big nooner, and they're upset about it, but... My scouting buddy, that's his region, and he makes sure he's there.
Nice.
I'm jealous.
Well, guys, who says you can't talk college football in March? Right during March Madness. Who does that?
We've been big college sports in general.
I'm into it.
Me too.
All right. The Wednesday Tickle Trunk next on The Fan. Here's Will.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, it's time for the Wednesday Tickle Trunk. Where we just kind of meander. So tomorrow's going to be great. We've got baseball opening day, and then once we're on the air, then the basketball games kick up. So the morning is going to be agonizing because Will told me, and he's right, there's no game on until noon tomorrow. West Coast.
I'm pretty smart when it comes to game times.
It's just...
I'm locked in.
I don't like that. I like a game at 9 West Pacific time.
There should be games all day.
There should be games all day.
There also shouldn't be the season starting a week ago, 5 days ago?
Yeah, well.
I don't like that. Anti that.
Well, the Dodgers and Cubs are still playing tomorrow. But anyway, point being... I don't know what we're going to do all morning. We gonna bet on like Russian ping pong?
Dude, I'm not doing that.
So I can't wait for March Madness. Games kick back up. We get BYU Bama first game up tomorrow. Here is why SMU is who you have to thank for how the Sweet 16 looks.
Okay.
So they fired Rob Lanier, their coach, 1 year ago. SMU.
Okay.
Of course, nobody really cared. Nobody saw that. Well, maybe if you're an SMU fan, you saw that. But no one outside of Dallas cares about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and stole Andy Enfield from USC. And that is where the chain reaction began, because USC took Eric Musselman from Arkansas. That opened the door for Arkansas to go get John Calipari from Kentucky. Kentucky then took Mark Pope from BYU, and BYU plucked Kevin Young from the NBA, I think. He was on the Suns bench or some crap.
I think you're right.
So now, all three of those are in the Sweet 16, while SMU is in the NIT and USC is in the College Basketball Crown. How about that? So USC firing Rob Lanier got Arkansas a better coach, Kentucky a better coach, I guess, and BYU a better coach.
Like, it's crazy to me.
How about that?
How, like, if, as you look back, the trickle-down effect of one coach leaving to the new spot, but the new fun game that I like playing, and you get to see it all the time on X, where did these players start at? And
oh, yeah.
Which, by...
Well, we talked about that yesterday.
By looking at the mascots,
yeah,
where they all went and where they all followed, I mean...
It's insane. Somebody put together a I don't know, what is that?
Like a picture?
A picture. A photo.
Yeah.
And it's
a
the
graphic.
It's the mascots of where each starter on each of the teams in the Sweet 16 started.
Yep.
And then they said, well, guess which team is which. And outside of Purdue, which all five of them were at Purdue.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you can't really tell who's who.
No, Purdue doesn't do the portal. Duke, for the most part. But again, Duke has what,
yeah,
three freshmen?
Duke had four. Michigan State, to be fair, had four starters that started there.
But again, there's a crew of... Again, Duke has a couple freshmen, so that's why. And Michigan State, a couple freshmen.
Well, Izzo's doing it. He's not really digging into the transfer portal as much.
He had a quote today literally saying, like, he's not even beginning his stuff. Because you know the portal's open, right?
He's not even what? Beginning what?
The portal recruiting? Like,
no, I know, but
Calipari,
he's not.
So the portal opened.
Yes.
Already.
Yes.
Calipari said, well, I guess after practice, I'm going to have to start recruiting the portal.
Right.
Izzo said, I will not even look at it until we are done.
Yeah.
It's a very old school approach.
Yeah, he's an old guy, but
mm-hmm.
he does a good job, man. His team's good.
There's a reason why it's January, February, Izzo.
Root for him.
I like Izzo.
So Izzo has, I said this yesterday, two things I said yesterday worth repeating if you didn't hear them. One is, Tom Izzo is the coach with the most wins as a lower seed ever.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's won 17 times in the tournament with as the lower seed. I'm sorry, as the higher seed.
Right. He gets the most out of his guys, though, and it's kind of fun because, like, Boeheim used to get a lot of wins at Syracuse, but he ran that weird zone, and people weren't used to it and weren't ready for it. And so you'd see Syracuse have average ACC years and then come in and absolutely dominate.
Well, because he had athletes, too. He was running that matchup zone with, and they would all, yeah, dude, that would throw teams off.
Dudes.
I remember, I got to tell you, man, as a Kansas fan, you did not want to see Syracuse.
Yeah.
They could throw you into a tizzy.
Well, they were just going to, they had too many guys, but then also, like, no one ran the way that he ran that zone. And
length.
It just bothered
people.
They were
very good at it.
When you didn't have time to prepare, they got to you. Like, Izzo's different. Izzo, I mean, like, yeah, he's got good schemes, obviously. He wouldn't be where he's at without good schemes. But he doesn't have that, like, ace in the hole.
No, he doesn't. Well, what's wild? Well, Richardson's pretty good, but... They're not a very good shooting team. Like, they can't shoot.
That's why they made Jace Richardson start. He's the only one that can, and ironically, he didn't in the last game.
And they're still a two seed, and they just keep winning.
They were projected to be, like, a middle of the Big Ten team.
Tom Izzo's the man.
Awesome.
He's the man. I don't know, he's kind of an a-hole, you know, red face yelling at the refs and stuff, but you got to respect that guy.
Well, but it works, though. Like, that's the thing. And I know it bothers Suk a lot of, you know, the red ass coach. And don't get me wrong. I think there are people, Dan Hurley pushing his player in the middle of a game, that go too far. But I do think in college basketball, it has a tendency to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be the way you do it.
No.
There are better ways, but yes, it is kind of it's the Bob Knight, you know, heavy-handed head coach in college bully type of thing. It does work, but it's kind of the lowest common denominator.
See, but Bob, I think, is in his own category because, like, he was harming people. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like,
he was. But there are a lot of players that swear by him.
Fair. But, like, I don't feel like any of the red asses now. Like, I don't think Izzo's harming people.
No, but
I don't think that Hurley's harming people.
No, but they're very tough.
And yes.
It is tough to play for them.
Yes.
And they are, it's just, yeah, look, it's just the old school way.
Yes.
Mark Pope, something tells me Mark Pope's not really like that.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Him and Shire seem much more fun.
Shire definitely not like that. I know Bill Self is. Bill Self's tough.
Yep.
And the old tough guys.
Patino's tough. Calipari's tough.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. So anyway, the other one was Michigan has more players starting for it that started at Texas Tech than Texas Tech has players starting for it that started at Texas Tech.
That's hilarious.
In other words, there are two Texas Tech transfers starting for Michigan. Texas Tech only has one guy that started at Texas Tech that's a starter there.
Well, their best player was at New Mexico last year, right? JT Toppin?
Yes.
He's so much fun to watch.
And he is their best player.
He's awesome. He was great in that Drake game.
What do we think of that game? They've got Arkansas. Interesting matchup.
I think they beat him. Arkansas has a tendency to go cold. And I didn't feel like their game against Kansas or their game against St. John's, they won because they were necessarily better or, like, shooting the lights out. I felt like they won because they were the least sloppy.
Yeah.
No, they're long and athletic, man. Like,
they are big. That's the thing.
And Fland can get where he needs to get a shot up or to get a good pass off. Like, they're not a pushover. Player.
They got good players. I don't really know why they weren't that good this year.
Injuries.
Is that what it was?
They're still missing their second leading scorer.
Yeah, I thought he was coming back. Thero or whatever?
Yeah, but he was gone last weekend. They didn't have him. So they've had a lot of injury issues. It's why Calipari was so jacked up after the St. John's game where he was like, this is the most rewarding coaching job I've had.
Give me an upset.
I think I lean towards Michigan. And
Michigan
I know you don't
beating
like
Auburn.
I know you don't like that. The other one that it took me a long time on, and I almost bet it and I didn't pull the trigger, and I kind of wish I did. I really liked Ole Miss.
They got Michigan State.
I don't like him as a person.
Chris Beard. There's another one.
Beard is a very good coach.
He is.
And he gets the most out of those guys, and they blew the doors off of Iowa State.
Yeah, they sure did.
I didn't pull the trigger on it. I didn't bet it, but I really thought about it.
Well, you know, their big thing is they're one of the most experienced teams in all of college basketball. Those guys have been around forever.
And I like that dorky white point guard guy they have with the headband.
Padula.
Yeah, even though he's like kind of bald.
Their offense is a little eh.
Yeah.
They gotta turn you over to get buckets, but
if they do,
if they're knocking down shots, yeah, they're nasty.
And he's a guy too that it seems like when they need a big shot, he gets it.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that game. That's a good matchup. That's probably the best matchup right there.
I think it's the closest line. I think it's 3, 3.5.
Ole Miss, Michigan State?
I believe, yeah. Or Kentucky, Tennessee. Which, I don't want to watch that one. That's the upset. Because Kentucky is the underdog, and they've already beat Tennessee twice this year.
Yeah. I don't know about that one either. Tennessee is Rick Barnes, and Rick Barnes, he'll screw it up. He'll find a way to screw it up.
He'll mess it up somewhere.
But it may not be this round. I don't know.
I just like this Tennessee team with Ziegler, and if Lanier's going to keep shooting this way.
Yeah, Ziegler's awesome.
Once they lost him last year, that's why they faltered. It's not because Connect or Barnes. It's because they lost Ziegler.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait, man.
It's going to be awesome.
What a sports weekend. What a sports 4 days we're going to get here. All right, we'll continue the Tickle Trunk coming up next. Did you see the bro who hit 4 buzzer beaters in the same game? That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, they're calling it one of the most clutch games ever. And you didn't see it because it was in the G League. But there's a dude for the College Park Skyhawks. This would be the G League team of the Atlanta Hawks. Young man by the name of Jarkel Joyner played at NC State. He was just minding his own business one night in a game against who knows who. And homeboy hit 4 buzzer beaters in the same game. Did you see this?
No. So each quarter he hit one?
Yep. Each quarter. And the game went to overtime. He could have hit 5, but they lost in overtime. That's so he hit a huge 3 at the end of the first quarter, or a long 3. He hit a buzzer beater at the half, 3-pointer. He banked one in at the end of the third. And hold on, I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Oh, I held it. I don't like that feeling.
Good for you.
I got the allergies, bro.
Dude, I started early. I started back in March, beginning of March.
And then, with less than 2 seconds left in the game, he hit a 3 to force overtime. So that technically wasn't a buzzer beater, but it was close. So he hit 4 buzzer beaters in the same game. Pretty nuts. Also, I would like to point out, because Suk's not here to crap all over it, Bronny dropped 39 the other night.
Bronny is good in the G League. I don't understand what the issue... Like, look, he's not going to be a star, but to look at Bronny in the G League and be like, oh, he's absolutely horrible, or...
He's dropped 39!
He's good. Like, he's fine. Like, it's the G League. He's probably going to be a 7th, 8th guy on the bench. Like, that's his best case scenario. I don't understand why people are just attacking him. Like, I know...
Well, talk to your boy Sukanik.
Gotta talk to Schultzy, too. He thinks it's the biggest nepotism piece ever. And I get it.
Well, it kind of is.
Well,
but he's not, you're right, he's not.
Okay, so let's say he's
a joke.
Right, but they want him to be a joke.
Yes, they do. And Suk will never give him credit for anything.
No.
I mean, he scored 19 the other night in an NBA game.
Yeah, and it was, it was a blowout, but you can't tell me he's any worse than Thanasis or whatever Giannis's brother's name is.
Right. That's fair.
Like, what are we doing here? LeBron wanted to play with his kid, and his kid played. He wasn't good at USC. Yeah, well, maybe it's because he had cardiac arrest in September.
I want Bronny to be a star.
Be awesome.
Just
so
Suk has to give him credit.
He wouldn't. He'd move the goalpost. He would move the goalpost so far.
He would. But I tell you, I'm keeping an eye on Bronny's career because of him, Suk.
Oh, yeah.
That's why.
Do it with Schultzy.
Anything good he does.
Bring it up with Schultzy next time you're around him. He gets fired up.
I should have brought it up yesterday. He was on here.
You'll get time on Friday.
All right. Maybe I'll do it to both of them on Friday. I'm going to have a Bronny segment on Friday.
You should.
Both in here.
Next superstar, Bronny James.
I'm going to get a guest lined up to talk about how Bronny's doing in the G League.
You should get Bronny on the show.
That'd be cool, but I don't think we have that kind of pull.
LeBron did McAfee.
Dude, that would be kind of cool if I do a surprise guest and it's Bronny.
Surprise Bronny. You guys used to do that.
Yeah,
I remember
we did.
Those days.
Yeah, we had some good surprise guests. Chuck Norris was one of them.
With the BB gun.
We had Bear Grylls.
I remember the Bear Grylls one. That was a big man versus wild guy.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed to learn it wasn't all that real.
It's a good show. Who else do we have? Brett Michaels was one.
He's a rocker.
He's a poison.
I was going to say, I know he's a rocker. I always get him confused with the other
one. You probably know him from Rock of Love, that stupid reality show he did. Where all those whores.
My favorite one wasn't his, but Ray J. Ray J had one, and that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, go Bronny.
Yes.
You and I are pro Bronny.
Yeah. I like Bronny.
He's fine.
He's a nice kid.
Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's handling it pretty well, and I'm with you.
I like Bronny. Bronny's a good kid, works hard. He had a cardiac arrest just a year and a half ago.
There's that, too.
Like, yeah. It's fine.
Rooting for him.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's just getting silly. That's next on The Fan.